Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we thank our Heavenly Father for giving this wonderful opportunity to study His wonderful words of life. By God's grace, we have been studying the sixth volume since many days, and we have been studying the third chapter. So last week, we studied till page number 104. So this week, we will continue from page number 104. So we were studying the subject about justification. What is the meaning of justification and how the justification process is happening in the gospel age, how justification process will happen in the Christ kingdom. So we will continue with page number 104. First, I would like Brother Joel, if you can read the paragraph, the cause, the ground of a justification, that paragraph. Can you read, brother?
Okay, brother. The cause or ground or justification. Confusion has come to many minds on this subject by reason of neglect to compare the declaration of God's word. Some, for instance, noting the apostles' expression that we are justified by faith, Rome 5:1-3:28, Galatians 3:24, hold that faith is so valuable in God's sight that it covers our intentions. Others, noting the apostles' statement that we are justified by God's grace, Romans 3:24, Titus 3:7, hold that God justifies or clears whomsoever He wills arbitrarily, irrespective of any quality or merit or faith or works which may be in them. Still others note the scriptural declaration that we are justified by His blood, Romans 5:9, Hebrews 9:14, 1 John 1:7, and reason from this that the death of Christ effected a justification for all men, irrespective of their faith and obedience. And still others take the scripture statement that Christ was raised again for our justification, Romans 4:25, and on the strength of His claim that justification comes to us through the resurrection of Christ. Still others, taking the scriptures which says, by works of man is justified, Jesaiah 2:24, claim that after all it said and done, our works decide the matter of favor of disfavor with God.
Thank you, brother. So here you see the various views, various scriptures we speak about justification is given. So each and every of the scriptures is quite misunderstood by the people, you see, in the false churches. Like, for example, you see, in Romans 5:1 or in Romans 3:28, also in Galatians 3:24, it says, we are justified by faith. Okay? So many, based on the scriptures, you see, they claim that, we are justified by faith. So, irrespective of whatever we do or we don't do, you see, faith, it covers everything. So apart from faith, nothing is required. So just you see, stop at this point. You see, they don't show anything in their works and don't show anything in their action. You see, they forget the scriptures which tell that faith along with works is very required. And faith without works is dead. You see, so next, others, you see, they have a different opinion about justification that is based on Romans 3:24 and Titus 3:7, where it tells that we are justified by grace. Grace means what? You see, not required to do anything. It is of God's desire that He has given grace to justify you, to forgive all your sins. So many misunderstand the scriptures and claim that we are justified by grace, whether we are good or bad, it doesn't matter at all. So it is God who has justified. So only of His grace, okay, that is sufficient for us. You see, irrespective of our faith, you see, whether we have faith in the Lord or not, grace is sufficient. So by grace, everybody are justified. You see, so this is how they understand. Still, some other people, still some other denomination or some other Christians, they believe in Romans 5:9, Hebrews 9:14, 1 John 1:7. What does this say? These scriptures tell that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So they claim Jesus died for everybody, Jesus died for all mankind. So it is not at all required for us to do some good works. It is not at all required for us to have faith on God. You see, so whether we have faith on God or not, whether we are believing in Jesus or not, that is not sufficient at all. Jesus died for us. That itself is like paying a price for everybody. So everybody, you see, are justified, whether you believe or not. And you see, there's one more scripture, Romans 4:25, where it says Jesus was right for our justification. You see, and these, you see, think Jesus has died and has resurrected. You see, no more works is required. You see, no more faith is required. And still, some other people claim on James 2:24, you see, by work, a man is justified. So, it is works is very important. You see, faith is not so important. So, work is important. What is work? Doing something, giving contributions to the Lord, paying 10% tithes. You see, going to villages and preaching the gospel. You see, going to the jails and preaching to the prisoners. Going for the orphanage, going for the old age homes and taking care of them. So, works. It is because of our works that we are justified. God determines that we are, you see, sinless. So, if you see, there are various concepts of this justification. Okay. Then which is the correct one? Now, which is the proper scripture? Which is to be understood properly? So, what is the meaning of this one? You see, that one is given in next paragraph. Explanation. How the scriptures has to be understood, you see, our brother tells in next paragraph. Okay, next paragraph, Romy sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. The fact of the matter is that these expressions are all true and present merely different side of the one great question. Just as a great buildings may be viewed from front, from rear, from the sides, and from the various angles. In giving the above expression, the apostles at different times were treating the different phases of the subject. It is for us to put all of these together and see in that ambition the whole truth on the subject of justifications.
Very good. Thank you. You see, here, how do we understand the scriptures? Here, you see, a brother gives a beautiful example. You see, how a building can be viewed in different angles. And you see, the conclusion can be different. You see, but yet, it is a one building, isn't it? So, similarly, you see, whether we take one scripture, you see, that is not a proper way. The proper way to study the Bible is take all the, you see, scriptures collectively and frame it properly and study. This one we have studied in our basic class. How to study the Bible? How do we study the Bible? Here a little, there a little. We have three keys to understand the Bible now. The first key is that here a little, there a little. So the Bible has to be studied, you see, collecting all the scriptures here a little, there a little. Link it properly, you see. And the second key, what does the second key says? Search the scriptures, none shall want or mate. That means all the scriptures has got a link. You see, a question has got an answer, and you see, a negative has got a positive. So all the questions in the Bible has got an answer, and each and everything is there in the scriptures. Scripture upon scripture, scripture upon scripture. This has to be searched out. The third key, rightly dividing the word of God. That means what rightly dividing means? Rightly applying the scriptures. Which scripture has to be applied? First, which scripture has to be applied? Second, that has to be done in a systematic way. Then only we can understand the Bible. Like, for example, see the birth of Jesus Christ, where he was born, when he was born on earth, and how he grew, what all the things he did in the ministry, how he died on the cross, how he was resurrected. All these things are actually given in the Old Testament first. But is it given in a single book as it is given in the Gospels in the New Testament? No. It is given in various places. You see, various prophecies are there. Psalms are there. Probs are there. So many things are there in the Old Testament. Now, how do we study this one? Here a little, there a little. Gather all the scriptures. But after gathering all the scriptures, it is rightly dividing. Organizing the scriptures is very important. We can't, you see, put the scriptures which are last and the first and the first and the last. Like, for example, we're studying the birth of Christ. We need to study how Jesus would be born first, rather than studying how Jesus would do his ministry. You see, so there is an order to study. So similarly, when we are studying these scriptures about justification, there is an order that has to be organized for a better understanding. So once if we do that one, then only we will be able to understand the scriptures properly. Okay. Now let us, using this method, you see, try to understand each and every of the scriptures. What does it mean? You see, these are beautifully given. One by one, let us go and study. Okay. Now, Munna sister, can you read the next paragraph, Munna sister?
Brother, First of all, we are justified by God's grace. There was no obligation of an creator to do it.
Munna sister, your audio is not listening. We are not able to listen to you. You're not audible.
Okay, brother, I will fix.
Super. Now, okay.
First of all, we are justified by God's grace. There was no obligation upon our Creator to do anything whatever for our recovery from the just penalty which He had placed upon us. It is of His own favor or grace that, foreseeing the fall even before our creation, He had compassion upon us, and in His plan provided for our redemption the plan before the foundation of the world. Let us settle this question of our reconciliation to the Father, that it is of His grace by whatever means He was pleased to bring it out.
Very good, sir. Okay. Now, here, the first scripture. See, first thing that I study is beginning from the first step of justification, that is by God's grace. Okay, let us read the scriptures. Romans 3:24. Okay, Romy sister, can you read Romans 3:24?
Okay, brother. Mm. my second brother? Romans
3:24.
Romans chapter 3rd verse
24.
Okay, brother. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
You see, justified freely by his grace. Now, what is the meaning of this one? Freely by his grace. Okay. We all know very well, when God created man, he placed them in the Garden of Eden. He told them to eat freely of all the fruit of the tree, except of one fruit. Which is the fruit? A knowledge of good and evil. Just to test whether they are faithful or not. But, you see, what happened? You see, dear brethren, they violated, you see, God's command. They ate the forbidden fruit. When they ate the forbidden fruit, sin entered, and because of the sin, God, you see, proclaimed the penalty death, you see, and they were imputed of the penalty death, you see. They were condemned to death and they were cast out of Garden of Eden. Okay. Now, in any of the God's law, was there a rule to save this condemned mankind from death? Was there any rule that after condemning man to death, after sending him out of the Garden of Eden, you see, they have to be redeemed? They have to be saved. You see, was there any rule? No, there was no rule at all. You see, nothing in God's creation, nothing in his justice, it tells you have condemned the mankind. Now it is your responsibility to go and save them. No, it is no obligation. But yet, God decided to save. That is called as grace. You see, grace means that goes beyond obligation. Like for example, imagine we'll be going on the road. A beggar will come. You see, a beggar will come and ask for some money. Madam, please give me a little bit of money. I haven't had food for 3 days. I'm very hungry. I'm feeling very angry. Please give me food, he will ask. Now, How much will we give? How much will we give to the beggar? Will we give or not? Tell me. If a beggar comes and asks us, will we give them money or not? Will we help them or not?
We help.
Yes, we will
most
help.
Of the time, brother.
Yes. Yes. How much will help? Imagine you'll open your purse. You see? 1,000 rupee. You see, one note is there. Then you got only 1 rupee coin. You see, only two things are there in the purse. Now, which one you'll give to the beggar? You'll give 1 rupee coin or 1,000 rupee note?
We give 1 rupee coin. Brother.
1 rupee coin. You see, because that is what we can offer. You see. And the beggar can't ask, what you're giving 1 rupee? Don't you know I'm starving for 3 days, 5 days? Give me more. He can't demand. Why? First of all, what 1 rupee you are giving, it is a favor you are doing to them. There is no rule that you should give him. Yet out of your good heart, you are giving them. That is grace. There was no rule in God's entire creation that mankind should be saved. But yet, out of God's love, he decided to save every mankind. Hence, this, you see, justification, what we get, that God forgives us all our sins, it is only of his grace. It is like putting some things, some harms to the beggar. You see, remember the parallel of rich man and Lazarus? the beggar Lazarus. You see, rich man was there, the beggar Lazarus, beggar, why beggar? Beggarly things, beggarly elements. You see, there was nothing in God's soul that we should be given food. But God decided to throw the crumbs. See, that is grace. Understood? The first thing, you see, the justification what we have received is completely of God's grace. Okay, next point. Next paragraph. Romy sister, can you read next paragraph?
Okay, brother.
Oh, you read the paragraph, correct now?
Yes, brother.
Okay. Now, Joel brother, can you read? Ashish brother, you're able to read, you're listening. Okay. Okay, Joel brother, you read, brother. Joel brother.
Okay, brother. Secondly, we are justified by the blood of Christ by his redemptive work, his death, that is to say, the Creator's grace towards us was manifested in making his provision for us, that Jesus Christ, by of God, should taste death for every man, and thus pay the penalty for Adam. And since the whole world came into condemnation through Adam, the ultimate effect will be the cancellation of the sin of the whole world. Let us make sure of this point also, as of the first one, that God's grace operates only through this one channel, so that he that had the Son hath life, and he that had not the Son hath not life, but continues under the sentence of death. 1 John 5:12.
Okay, good brother. Now here, this is based on the scripture where it tells we are justified by the blood of Christ. Now, what do you mean by justified by the blood of Christ? You see, we all know we have studied the subject of ransom. When Adam sinned, what happened? He fell from the grace of God. You see, he was condemned as a sinner. Now to redeem this Adam, you see, somebody has to take his place. Now, who could take his place? Can any of the sinners of this mankind, can any of the children of Adam go and die for Adam and pay a ransom? No. Psalms 49:7, it says, none can pay a ransom, you see, to his brother. None can pay a ransom for mankind because everybody has sinners, and there's none righteous, not even one. All are condemned in Adam. Hence, man cannot redeem man. Okay. If man cannot save mankind because already they are sinners, a sinner can't go and save another sinner. But what about the blood of bulls and goats that were offered in the Old Testament and God is to accept it? You see, that can't redeem mankind if you see. No. Because you see, the animals are a little bit lower than human beings. There is a difference in animals and human beings. Human beings are a little bit upper than, you see, the animals. Hence, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Hebrews 10, chapter 5th verse. Okay. If animals can't redeem mankind, then what about the angels? They should come and give. No, they also could come and give from heaven. No, that was also not possible because that won't be a corresponding price. That price would be more. You see, animals' price would be less. You see, Adam's children's price would be less. Hence, the only option was to send a perfect man, you see. And that perfect man could be none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he, when he came to this earth, he came like a perfect man. Second Adam. He was called when he came to this earth. Therefore, you see, read the scripture, Hebrews 2:9. Hebrews 2:9. Munna sister, can you read Hebrews 2:9?
Okay, brother. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man.
Taste death for every man. Jesus was supposed to taste death for every man. It is only by the blood of Jesus we are redeemed. Because God's scale of justice demanded perfection. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You see, man for a man, life for a life. You can't give, you see, hundreds of life for, you see, one man. Similarly, you can't take hundreds of for hundreds of life, you can't take one man until he's, you see, since God decided one man to one man. If Adam has sinned, only redeem Adam. Then in Adam was all are condemned. If you save that one man Adam, in Adam everybody will be saved. Therefore, dear brethren, God made a beautiful plan to save the whole mankind through one man, the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Hence, you see, we can say that this justification is by Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we can never be justified. You see, hence 1 John 5:12, what does he say? He that has the Son has life. He that doesn't has the Son doesn't has life. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, Joel Buder, can you read?
Okay, brother.
Oh, yeah, 1 minute, 1 minute. Previous paragraph is read by you, no?
Yes, brother.
Okay, now let us, Munna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother.
Okay.
Thirdly, that Christ Jesus was raised from death for our justification is equally true, for it was a part of the divine plan, not only that Messiah should be the redeemer of the people, but that he should be the blesser or rescuer of all desiring to return to harmony with the Father. While therefore Jesus' death was of primary importance as the basis of reconciliation, he could never have been the channel for our blessing and restitution had he remained in death. Hence, the Father, who provided for his death as our redemptive price, provided also for his resurrection from the dead, that in due time he might be the agent for man's justification, for humanity's return to a right or just condition in harmony with God.
Okay, thank you, sir. Now the third point, you see, we are justified with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was raised for our justification. Now this one is true. Yes, it is because that he is raised that we are justified. Imagine if Jesus had just died, you see, on the cross and pay a ransom. You see, what about us? Would we be really justified? You see, no. How is it? You see, there are two things. The two things are first redemption and next restoration. Redemption means what? The price, the word redemption means what? Redeem. Redeem means actually what? Pay the value and take back the product. You see? Like for example, this words is popularly applicable in olden days. They used to have slave trade. Remember? Human beings were sold. Joseph was sold. You see? For silver coins. So, Joseph, how he was redeemed? They paid the money. They took Joseph. So whatever value was given, that was Joseph's value. If Joseph has to be returned back, if he has to go back, the original amount has to be given. That is the word of redemption, redeem. So Jesus has purchased Appa. How did he purchase? By dying on the cross, by paying, by pouring out his blood. Okay. No, that would have been sufficient. No, why did God resurrect Jesus Christ? If only Jesus had paid the ransom by dying on the cross, if he was not resurrected, he could not bring even one single mankind to perfection. What would happen? You see, we will all die. But God's plan, someday we'll have the opportunity to be resurrected. But after resurrection, what is the use? Again, we'll go and commit the same sin. There should be someone to help us. Help from what? Help us from leaving all our bad and sinful activities and not sin again and live a perfect life as Adam, as Jesus Christ. To help us, to assist us, someone has to be there. And that role was given to Jesus. Hence, he was resurrected. Just by paying the price, just by paying the ransom, he has saved everybody. But that is not sufficient. You see, he has to restore everybody to perfection. Hence, God has given Jesus Christ 1,000 years to do this one. Jesus, in the 1,000 years, is going to resurrect all the dead. They are going to come back alive as they died. But once, you see, they come back, they slowly have to come to the perfection. That bringing back to perfection is the work of Jesus Christ in the kingdom. Hence, 1,000 years is given to him. 1,000 years, he will help them. You see, give them good food. Bible will be open. Satan will be bound. Everybody has to walk away in the highway of holiness, slowly leave all their bad things and become like Jesus. Hence, to do this one, Jesus to do this one, he had to not only die in the cross, but also be resurrected. Hence, the Bible says Jesus was raised for our justification. We are justified. How? By his blood, by his resurrection. Okay? Okay. The next, fourth point, we will read. Gopal brother, hope you, I think you're able to read. Can you read?
Okay, brother.
Okay, page number 106, brother. The last paragraph, fourth.
Okay, brother. Thank you. Fourthly, we, the church, are justified by faith in the sense that the Lord's provision is not for an actual justification or restitution of any during this age, but for merely a reckoned or faith restitution, and this, of course, can apply only to those who will exercise the faith. Neither our faith nor our unbelief can have anything whatever to do with the divine arrangements which God purposed in himself and has been carrying forward and will accomplish in due time. But our perfection in these favors proffered us in advance of the world does depend upon our faith. During the millennial age, the lengths and breadths of the divine plan of salvation will be manifested to all. The kingdom of God will be established in the world, and he who redeemed mankind and who has been empowered to bless all with a knowledge of the truth will actually justify or restore to perfection as many as desire and will accept the divine favor on the divine terms.
You see? Here it says, we are justified by faith. Romans 8:1, Romans 5:1. How? We means what? Not the whole world. Speaking particularly about the church. Because now God doesn't demand work. You see, although work is important, but God doesn't give primarily importance to work. Now, what is given? The importance is given to faith. Why faith? Because we don't see God. We haven't seen God, but yet believe that he's there. We can't see God's plan. Can we see God's plan? We understood God's plan. Have we seen Jesus? No. We understood seeing Jesus. Understood Jesus. It is like seeing Jesus. We almost believe that we are always seeing Jesus. Now, how is all these things? These are only by faith. Nothing by actually nothing happens in our eyes. You see? So, this one, God is pleased. Just because we blindly believe that all these things are there, that it is existing, God justifies us. God tells, okay, these are good. You got so much of faith? Okay. Now let me freely forgive them. Let me justify them. This is the justification by faith, not by works. You see, based on this faith, whatever little works we do, God considers that it is almost done. Work is not 100% perfect. God doesn't work 100% perfect work. Even if you do 10%, God accepts it. Makes it equal to 100%. How? Because by faith. Like, for example, you know, this is like a handicapped person. You see? Imagine handicapped persons are running the race. You see? Now, how will the judge, you see, judge the race? Will he judge the race, you see, based or how he justifies, how he judges, you see, like a normal person who's running the race? No. Normal person, if the 100 meters race, they'll just run and finish it in 1 minute. But the handicapped person will take a lot of time. It may take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Even then, they consider as, you see, running the race. Why? Because your time is not important. The attempt, even though they are lame, they are trying to do that one. That is important. That is faith. Actions is least. Attempt is very important. Therefore, justification by faith. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph. Joel brother.
True, faith may even then be said to be essential to restitution, progress toward actual justification, for without faith it is impossible to please God, and because the restitution, blessing and rewards will be bestowed along lines that will demand faith, but the faith that will then be required for progress in restitution will differ very much from the faith now required of those called to be saints, joint heirs with Jesus, new creatures, when the kingdom of God shall be in control and certain bond, and the knowledge of the Lord cause to fill the earth. These fulfillments of divine promises will be recognized by all, and thus our knowledge will grasp actually much that is not recognizable only by the eye of faith, but faith will be needed nevertheless, that they may go on to perfection, and thus the actual justification obtainable by the close of the millennium will be attained only by those who will persistently exercise faith and works. Although of that time it is written, the deal shall be judged out of the books according to their works, as in contradiction to the present judgment of the church according to your faith. Yet their works will not be without faith, even as our faith must not be without works to the extent of our ability.
Good. Thank you, brother. So, in Christ's kingdom, how will this faith be? You see, do you think there won't be any faith in the Christ kingdom? No. Faith will still remain there. But primary importance in the kingdom will be given for the works. Why works? Why not works now? Because we all want to do it, put it into action, but we are not able to do it. Why? Because of the outward influence, because of the Satan's influence. We have got four enemies. You see, what are the four enemies? Can anybody tell me who are the four enemies of the new creation? Tell me the four enemies of the new creation, the four enemies of the consecrated. Any idea?
One
tell
is
them.
World.
Flesh, world. Then, who is the greatest enemy?
Satan.
Satan, very good. Flesh, world, Satan. Fourth one. You see? Babylon. These are the four enemies of the new creation. The flesh, the devil, the world, and what? Babylon. These are the four enemies of the new creation. So, can we fight these four enemies? These four enemies are like giant in this world, because it is this influence that is more upon us. So hence, we can't practically put it into action. Everything clearly we can't put it into, bring it into action. But faith can remain there. Hence, faith is very important now. But in Christ's kingdom, what will happen? The situation will be opposite. Outward, Satan won't be there. You see, the world will be in good condition. The flesh, only the flesh will be there. You see, then there won't be false churches. There will be truth all the places. You see, for your eyes, all the things will be very clearly seen. This is the activities of God. This is very clear, it will be there. Then it will be very easy for you to bring everything in action. Imagine if you are going on the road, if you see some advertisement, what will happen? If you keep on seeing that advertisement, what will happen? That advertisement will have influence upon us. Even same way in Christ's kingdom. You see, Satan will be bound, the influence of the ancient worthies will be there, the truth will be all over places, all over the places. You see, whatever is there, it will be turned for knowledge of the word of God. Advertisements will be there, films will be there, series will be there. All those things will be based on the Bible. The teachings will be there on the Bible. Imagine we are completely immersed in Bible. What will happen? Our mind will start changing. There won't be any outward influence, bad influence. So what will happen? The only thing what we need to show then is to bring everything in action. You see? Faith, less, more in action. Because outward evil influences won't be there in the kingdom. So hence, in Christ's kingdom, actually it will be very easy to bring everything into practice. So, Devadren, this is how it is going to happen in the kingdom. The faith, justification by faith, justification by works, you see, in Christ's kingdom. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, who can read? Munna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. The apostles' declaration that God will justify the heathen through Galatians 3:8 is shown by the context to signify that the reconciliation by restitution will not come as a result of the law covenant, but by grace under the terms of the new covenant, which must be believed in, accepted, and compiled with by all who would benefit by it. A difference between present and future justification is that the consecrated of the present time are upon the exercise of proper faith granted instantly fellowship with the Father through recurrent justification by faith, whereas the exercise of obedience under the more favorable condition of the next age will not bring recurrent justification at all. and will effect actually justification and fellowship with God only at the close of the millennium. The world in the interim will be in the hands of the great mediator, whose work it will be to represent to them the divine will and to deal with them, correcting and restoring such as obey until he shall have actually justified them, at which he will present them faultless before the Father when about to deliver up his kingdom to God, even the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:20.
Thank you, sister. See, in Christ's kingdom, what will be the result, or what will be the blessing, or what will be the benefit of exercising faith? So, what will be the result? So, what good things will happen if you exercise faith in, you see, and faith with works, more works and less of faith in Christ's kingdom? What will be the happening? What will be the result? If you see it, brethren, in Christ's kingdom, as they keep on obeying, you see, God and put it into action, they will get blessings immediately. You see, on the spot, God will pay incentives to them. Now, as we obey the word of God, what do we get? We don't get anything. You see, physically, we don't get anything that is visible. All our blessings are spiritual. What are the spiritual blessings? God gives us more understanding of the word of God. God opens more door of opportunity to us. God involves us more in his activities. You see, we will be, you see, be able to overcome more. That is our blessings now. But in Christ's kingdom, actually, actual changes will happen in their flesh. You see, we read in the scriptures, Job. Anybody read Job 33:24? Anybody can read Job 33:24? Rominster, can you read?
Okay, brother. Job 33:24. Okay. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom.
Continue, please.
His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth.
You see, here it says, you see, if there is one, you see, worthy who can pay a ransom, what will God say, Simsa? God will say, come out from the grave. He shall restore him. How he shall be restored? His flesh shall be fresher than a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. Return to the days of his youth with what? He should slowly come back. He's gone so far. He's gone from 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60 years. He has gone to the age of death. But in Christ's kingdom, he has to return. Now he has to return. How now the aging process happens slowly, isn't it? From 20, 30 years are there. You see, that age, it takes, days takes. Slowly we are degrading. But in Christ's kingdom, slowly the perfection will come. How? You see, today we sin, we sin, we sin. The more we sin, the more we degrade. But in Christ's kingdom, the more we obey God, the more we come back to perfection. So that is the blessing that is they're going to get in Christ's kingdom. Hence, we read in Isaiah 35, 8 and 9, no? There is the highway of holiness. You see, the unclean shall not walk over it. Highway, they shall walk up. They should walk up the highway of holiness. Up means what? It's not a down road. It's not the descending road. It's not the way of sin. It is the ascending road. The road that leads to perfection. In Christ's kingdom, you see, mankind will be brought into perfection from sinful condition. How it will happen? slowly, day by day, month, year upon year, ultimately they will reach perfection. So what will happen in this perfection? Gray hairs, white hairs will become black. Eyesight. Now everybody is wearing glasses. In correction, everybody will remove their glasses. The skin will become beautiful. You know, lot of money they spend on makeup. In Krishnam, what will there? You see, everybody will be glowing skin. Their skin, the Bible says, the flesh shall be fresher than a child. Imagine each and every children, each and every human being will be so cute. You see, so plumpy, so soft, so beautiful, so fair. You see, that is going to happen. You see, health will be restored. They would have lost all their health. They would have fallen into sickness. But then Christ's kingdom, this health will be restored slowly, one by one, one by one. This is the blessing of exercising your faith and building more works. In Christ's kingdom, as you show more works, what will happen? You will get more and more of these blessings. Hence, he says, you see, in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Read 1 Corinthians 15:24. Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. First Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, who, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
Then shall come the end. End of what? End of all this restoration work. End of all the sinful things which man was doing. End. In the picture, they show no end. The end. Then cometh the end. End of sorrow. End of sickness. End of pain. When he's going to hand over the kingdom to God. Everybody will be brought to perfection. The perfect kingdom will be handed to God. That is the end. Okay? So, the result and the blessings of works in God's kingdom is there will be physical transformation in each and every human being. Okay? So, anybody has got any doubts, any questions? We'll stop here. Any questions, any doubts? Okay, no doubts, no questions. Okay? In the end, we'll end with a word of prayer. I request Brother Gopal to offer a prayer. Gopal brother, can you offer a prayer?